on the next to the last one, and that is meekness. Meekness. And I thought, what a fitting fruit for this day, Mother's Day, looking at meekness. The ABCs of motherhood, there's somebody that has taken motherhood and described moms and gave an acronym for every letter of the alphabet, the ABCs of motherhood. Well, M stands for meekness. And surely, if there is somebody on earth that's meek, we could look at a mother and the characteristics and the spirit of a mother, and you know, she just is meek. And having that type of a spirit. And so we're going to look at meekness and hopefully encourage those mothers who are doing it and challenge those who are struggling. And then all of us guys, who's going to nail us to the wall with this principle of meekness. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, he said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." As we consider the topic of meekness, many will see in their mind's eye this weak and frail Christian. Somebody who's afraid to take up arms. Somebody who's afraid to stand up for what they believe in. Who's afraid to stand up and make a difference. The world mocks and makes fun of him. And that's because we've allowed the world to influence us to believe or to think that meekness equals weakness. And of course, this is not true. This is not true. As you look through the pages of Scripture, even at Jesus Christ himself, you see somebody who is strong in character, who does stand for what he believes in, and yet exemplifies true meekness. No one in the world would call Moses weak. He was one of the strongest leaders who ever lived. And yet, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3, "Now the man Moses was meek." Meek above all the men that were on the face of the earth. He was known as a meek man, even though he was a strong leader. So this meekness in our lives, having this. First of all, I think it's important that we define it. Maybe a term, meekness, we don't use a lot, and sometimes culture begins to influence our thinking on a particular thing more than the actual definition. We think, oh, meekness means this because of the influence that's around us. And so Webster's 1828 dictionary defines meekness as a softness of temper, a mildness or gentleness of spirit. The key thing is right here, forbearance under injury and provocation. Forbearance under injury and provocation. Being able to take an insult without throwing a punch. Being able to, I mean, we are living in a day and age today where, everybody's got to have a safe space. You know, I mean, you can't, don't say anything that's not politically correct. Don't infringe upon any of my personal feelings. I mean, how dare you do that? Everything's got to be just as each individual wants it. We no longer care about society. The society has to form to what I need. And in that atmosphere, people are getting to the place where they can't take anything at all. The smallest comment that would infringe upon how they feel or what they think leads them into a fit of rage. And, you know, we see that played out in the news and on these campuses and in the foolishness, really, that takes place because people have removed God from their lives. He goes on in 1828 Dictionary, and he says this. He says, "It's submission to the divine will." Submission to the divine will. That is fundamental. That is foundational. Understanding that God is in control, and God has a plan, and we are submitting to it. That when we remove God out of the picture, we get ourselves in a mess. You know, I was talking to Dr. Keller this morning. I'm reading a book given to me by Dr. Crivilla on global warming. And I'm going to be dealing with that in the near future because it's a very pertinent, hot topic, right? But global warming. Do you understand that when you remove God out of the world and out of your life, you get all out of whack on what you think? Do you know, and I'm stealing some of my thunder from my message on global warming, but listen, the world is going to be here. Do you know how I know that? Because we are going to come back and rule and reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. So after this whole time is done, we're still going to be here with Jesus for 1,000 years after that. I don't have to worry about it. Now, when you remove God out of the picture, you start letting all this stuff get into your mind and think, oh my goodness, 12 years and it's all over. What are we going to do? We got to get back to following the divine will. Listen, let me bring that a little closer to home right now on Mother's Day. Now, you understand, of course, Mother's Day is a challenging day for some. There are many reasons that make Mother's Day a challenging day. Sometimes it's moms face the fact that they've lost one of their dear children. And it just doesn't seem right that a mother should outlive one of their children. It doesn't make sense, and they're bearing that burden. Some have miscarried children that they look forward to. Some have wanted children their entire life, and God hasn't given them children. And listen, what you understand, when you know God has a plan, you get over yourself. And you realize that it's not because of a deficiency in you. It's not because you don't measure up or you're not as much of a woman as somebody else. That has nothing to do with it. When you acknowledge that there's a God in heaven and he's in control, that God has a plan. And you say, it's not me. It's God's plan, and I can submit to that. Amen. You don't have to feel inferior than somebody else who has, because God is the one who gives life, and God is the one who takes life. And we get back to following God's divine will. That allows us to live in a spirit of meekness, knowing that God's in control. We got to be careful not to get outside of that. Strong's Concordance defines its meekness as humility. He says, by implication, humility. It's not humility in and of itself, but I'll tell you what, a spirit of meekness is going to be displayed as a means of humility. We're going to appear as a very humble person. Easton's Bible Dictionary says it's a calm temper of mind, not easily provoked. So that's what we are shooting for. When we talk about meekness, when we talk about this, the spirit of meekness and it being displayed in our lives, those are the definitions which we should look at and say, that's what I want God to do in me. Now, it's exciting that the Word of God has some promises for those that have meekness in their life. I know in the world today that the idea is, you know, bless God, you got to defend yourself, you got to stand up, you got to say what is on your mind, you have just as much right as anybody else. You know, when they had Jesus and they attacked him, the Bible says he answered not a word. But those that display the spirit of meekness, the Bible says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. One day. You know, Jesus was talking to the Jewish nation, and they understood. Their desire was that a kingdom would be set up, and they would have their kingdom here on earth. They would understand this statement. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And they would know, they would be like, yeah, that's what we're going for. That's what we want to see. Ultimately, you know, as I talked about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, one day, we're going to be in control. One day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And one day, we truly shall inherit the earth. Isaiah 66, verse number 2 says, for all those things that hath... all those things that my hand hath made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He's going to look to you. A promise. God's looking out for those that are of a meek and quiet spirit. We know that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the definition that I'm sure you've all heard is meekness is power under control. Meekness is strength under control. Anthony and I were talking before Sunday school this morning about the next lesson, which is going to be on temperance. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that lesson. It's a lesson that really challenges me. But you know what? I have very little respect for a man that can't control himself. For a man that can't control his spirit. I mean, the Bible says he's like a city that his walls are broken down. And you say, bless God, I'm a man, and I he can't control the spirit. I mean, he gets so mad he loses control of what he does. That's not meekness. Meekness is power under control. Having the power, knowing in your heart, you know, I heard a definition for a bully. Do you know what a bully is? A bully is a man with a inferiority complex trying to overcome it with a superiority complex. That's what a bully is. Most of the time, a guy that's trying to be a bully, he just thinks very little of himself, doesn't think he has enough to do it, and so he's trying to overcome that. Somebody that knows doesn't have to. They don't have to because they know. Meekness is power, having the power, but not doing something about it. They say, of course, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, God lifts up the meek. Although the word meek is only found 16 times in the Bible, the principle and the idea and the meekness displayed in the lives of God's people is all through the pages of Scripture. And you'll find it many, many places, even where the word meekness itself is not displayed. So let's look at meekness displayed. Meekness displayed. Through the pages of Scripture, we can see that. We mentioned and talked about Moses, and we'll get to him, but the ultimate example of meekness would be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The exemplification of meekness. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Christ, that meek spirit. Not that he was weak. Not that he was unable to stand up for truth or righteousness. He had all the power. But he didn't come down from the cross. Because he wanted to sacrifice for you and for me. He could have done, but he didn't. Because he was meek. And that meekness, you know, the yoke that this is talking about, being yoked up together, the yoke that they put on oxen or on cattle or horses, they yoke up two animals together to have them pull a plow or to pull an implement of some kind or maybe a wagon, that yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is there, and he wants to yoke up with you, to pull with you, to be alongside you, to help you. We think about Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 13, there was the conflict between Lot and Abraham's servants. You remember the story where they went out, and their herds began to grow, and all of their servants began to grow, and they had so many that there was a conflict between them. And Abraham, the uncle, the greater, the older, the more mature, Lot wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for Abraham. Abraham had all the power, but what did Abraham do? He came and he said, Lot, listen, there's a problem here. Why don't you choose? I'll give you the choice. You decide what you would like to do, and I'll do the other. You see, he had the power, but he gave the choice. And you know, if we back up and look at Jesus Christ, think about the fact that he has the power to make you do what he wants. But he always gives you a choice. He could do it, but he says, listen, here's what I would like you to do. I have the power. I'm God. I could make you do this. I mean, sometimes with my children, you know, it's like, no, you don't have a choice. You are going to pick that up. If you don't respond with a good spirit, we're going to have a little chat. We're going to apply the, you know, Board of Education, the seat of learning. And then we're going to come back in and you're going to pick it up. And they don't have a choice. This is what you're going to do. As a parent, that's my responsibility to train. But it's amazing all the power that God has. And he looks at you and he says, here's what I want. But you have a choice. You get to decide what you want. Amazing. Moses in Numbers chapter number 12, Miriam and Aaron came and they had a problem with him because he chose an Ethiopian wife. And they didn't like that. And they came in and they were judging him and wanting him not to do this. And, you know, he didn't pronounce judgment on them. He was a strong leader. He could have said, listen, I'm the leader here. God's going to judge you, but he left judgment up to God. I think about David over and over again in the scriptures. You see a spirit of meekness in David. A great, great book that I read many, many years ago. I believe it's titled, the title of it's Three Kings. It contrasts the spirit of Saul and David, who was following Saul, and how David responded to Saul. And then you move through the story a little bit, and now David is the king in Saul's shoes, and he has a son named Absalom. And Absalom is trying to take the kingdom from David. And again, you see a completely different spirit in David than you see in Absalom. And you see a completely different spirit in David than you saw in Saul when Saul was in those shoes. And it's amazing, really an amazing contrast when you think about it. But do you know when Absalom was trying to take the kingdom, David and Abishai were walking one day, and come on, help me. Anybody know Shimei? Shimei came out and he started cursing David. Now he started cursing David. He actually started throwing stones at David, the king. And he started saying, hey, all the blood that you've rained on Saul's head now is on your head. And he started cursing him. And here's the king of the country that could have done whatever he wanted. And actually Abishai looked at David and says, listen, if you read the text, he actually says, let me go over there and cut his head off. He said, there is no reason this guy should talk to you that way. And here's where we go back to our definition of submission to divine will. David says in the text, I think it's in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. He says in the text, hey, maybe God wants him to curse me. And who am I to fight against that? Who am I to take off his head if God wanted him to curse me today? Leave him alone. Submission to the divine will. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, he had the power. He has king. He had a guy here ready to do it. And you know, a lot of things we would do if we knew we could get away with it. There's a lot of things we would do. Yesterday, I was driving down York Road, and a police officer, I know none of you have ever done this, but yesterday a police officer, he turned on his lights and he whipped around. And I was just far enough away that I saw this scenario take place. A vehicle that knew he was guilty. He turned down an alley like he zipped over and he turned down this alley. Now, I know you've never done that. You never thought it was you and you turned down a road to try and avoid the police. But this guy did. So I was coming up on the scene. This officer, he spun around, turned around, and he turned down the alley. I'm like, oh, that guy didn't get away. He thought maybe he got off. You know, he didn't get off. The officer, I'm sure, ended up catching him. I don't know how I got onto that. That was a very pertinent story for something that was in my head. I don't know how that applied. But maybe you needed to know not to avoid the police. I don't know. They are the powers that be. You know? So, it's not doing what we want. You know, in our flesh, we want to get back. In our flesh, we want to get even. I mean, you think about David. He wanted to get, you know, he could have said, yeah, go kill him, man. Actually, just go beat him half to death and let him suffer. No, I mean, he could have done whatever he wanted. He was king. That's where it was. He could have got away with it. David could have got away with it. He was king. And this guy that was driving his car felt he could get away with it if he avoided the police. But that's not the way to do it. We would do things if we thought we could get away with it. David could have got away with it, but he still didn't do it. He says, no, I'm submitted to God's will. The Apostle Paul. Paul, man, he says, yet have I made myself a servant unto all that I might gain the more. Paul, continually tortured and abused for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he says, I've done it gladly that I might gain some more, that I might win some to Christ. If you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if this is part of your life, this fruit of meekness, it's going to be displayed in several ways. This is going to come out in your life. It's going to be displayed in several ways. We've seen it displayed in the Scriptures, but according to the Scriptures, how is it going to be evident in our lives? Let me give you these. First of all, meekness is going to be seen in how you handle discipline or correction. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 21 says, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? He says, hey, when there's a problem that I've got to deal with, should I come to you with a rod or should I come to you in love and the spirit of meekness? You see, when we have this spirit of meekness evident in our lives, when we're dealing with correction, with discipline, whether this is in the workforce, with somebody at work, I don't know how, I'll tell you what, being in management today, in today's world, you got to pray extra hard for meekness. with the way the spirit that people have, you know, they want reward for showing up for work. We started teaching them that philosophy when they're in kindergarten. That's the problem. They felt that they've done a good job because they got to work today. I mean, they were 15 minutes late, but they showed up. They were present. I don't know how you do it, but we're supposed to have a spirit of meekness when you're dealing with correction. Whether that's at work, family member, children, it's going to come out. That meek spirit will come out when we're dealing with discipline or correction. It also continues, meekness is present in restoration. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You've got to always have in the back of your mind that the fact is, regardless of how self-spiritual you think you are, any one of us could be guilty of any sin. Except for the grace of God and His protection about our lives, it's not us that are found in this particular trial or torment. And if we keep that in mind, I'll tell you what, it'll help us to deal with people with a little bit of meekness. Instead of coming in and coming down on them and judging them, but trying to restore them. Restore them in the spirit of meekness. Instead of saying, yeah, I knew that was going to happen to you. It was obvious. Boy, if you do this again, this is going to happen. You know, just holding it over their head. Over and over again, but with meekness, restoring them, bringing them back. Because if we keep it in part of our mind that it could be us, amen? It could be us. Meekness is going to be displayed in our forbearance, this admonition that we have to forbear one another. He says, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another. We're to forbear one another. And we can do that. We can forbear one another when we have meekness. We need the Spirit of God to be evident in our life to bring about meekness. We'll have meekness in our instruction. 2 Timothy 2:21. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, it's so evident today, many times people are opposing themselves. They're destroying their own life. But as you are instructing them, you're supposed to do it with some meekness. You know, this any instruction. Sometimes I'm a very practical, very hands-on kind of guy. Is that clock right? Is it 10 after? All right, let me know when we're good. 3 extra minutes, okay. Because I'm only about halfway through my notes. So instructing others. I'm a very practical, hands-on kind of guy. And common sense. It just makes sense. And I have a real problem patiently instructing people who don't have common sense. It just drives me nuts. I just want to say, how come you can't see that? Why do I even have to explain something so elementary? This is so basic, it doesn't even deserve an explanation. But none of that is the spirit of meekness. And the Holy Spirit is getting all over me saying, boy, this is right up your alley, Pastor Caleb. You just, meekness goes out the window because you're so practical and it makes sense to you. And God gave me a lovely wife who is not real practical. I don't want to start a feud in here this morning. You see, my wife's not in here, so I can say this. Amen. It's just not her strong point, and she has so many blessings, and she balances me out so well, and I praise God for that, because she has many abilities that I don't have and that I struggle with. But my problem is having patience and having some meekness when she comes to me with a question that, to me, already is answered. That, to me, is self-evident. And the other day, I'm not going to tell you any details about this, but she asked me a question. I answered her, and I'm sorry, I was a little sarcastic. And she looked at me, and she says, well, I know where your kids get it. And I said, hon, you know full well that the kids get it mutually from both of us. And several of our kids were standing there, and they were saying, they agreed. So we were both guilty of this, but having some meekness when we instruct people, boy, we need the Spirit of God to help us with that, to have some meekness in our instruction. Having meekness in our conversation, this is so important. Titus chapter 3, verse number 2, he says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James chapter 3, 13, very similar verse. He says, have meekness with wisdom in our good and right conversation. In our good conversation. You know, it's important. We're too flippant with our tongue today. Too quick to lash out. Too quick to bite. Too quick to cut with the tongue. Especially with the ones we love. We need to have meekness in our conversation. Meekness in our conversation. These are areas, according to the scripture, where we talk about having this fruit of the Spirit of meekness growing in our life. If that's there, these are specific areas you can look at and say, okay, is this evidence of the spirit of meekness being displayed in my life? We're also going to have meekness in our, I'm going to use the word reception. The Word of God uses the word receive. In James chapter 1, verse number 21, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. this is the other side of it, where we talked about the idea of having meekness in our instruction. Now we've got to turn to the other side and have some meekness in our receiving instruction. The engrafted word. As the word of God is taught and preached to us, God help us not to be puffed up and act like, boy, we know it all. We've got it figured out. You can't teach me anything. God says, have some meekness. Receive with meekness the word of God. Let it change your life from the inside out. And that won't happen unless we have some meekness. How do you develop this meekness? I'm going to give this to you real quick. We don't have time to spend time on it. But first of all, you study the examples. All through the scriptures, there's examples of meekness. You look at their lives and you can say, this is what they were like. This is what I want to be like. There's many examples given to us. Then you follow the biblical principles that show meekness in our lives, the ones that I just gave you. And then you use the biblical admonition. There's two places in the Word of God. It says that we are to seek after it. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, we are to seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. We're to seek after it. Seek God, seek the spirit of meekness. And then, actually in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, he says, put on. Literally, it means like a coat. You put it on. Put on meekness. You put on the meekness. And then we have blessings that will come because of it. All through the scriptures. Let me give you these texts. Psalm 76, verse number 9. We are preserved. He says, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, you're going to be preserved. A promise from God, preserved because you're meek. You're going to be exalted. Psalms 147, verse number 6. The Lord lifted up the meek. You see, this world wants to lift themselves up in pride and hey, but if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. God will lift up the meek. You'll be guided and taught, Psalms 25, verse number 9. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Great promises, amen? Great promises to those who are actually displaying this. You're going to be richly provided for. Psalms 22, 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. You'll be richly provided for. And you're going to increase in joy. Isaiah 29, verse number 19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Man, just the promises enough should be a motivation to say, boy, I want this spirit of meekness in my life. All right, let's close in prayer.